Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. What a weekend, what a week ahead. Loads to talk about. Been proved right on Haaland, been proved wrong on Arsenal. And Man United, are they finished? And who's the favourite for the title and relegation now? We've also got an amazing little bit of conversation about Son from Spurs. But, Will, you're here. Nothing's going to change that contractually. What are your thoughts?
Yep, you're locked into me for the rest of your life. I got that signed, sealed,
season,
and delivered.
Season.
No, years. Season. Look at the fine print. No, really looking forward to... I mean, we're just... Business end, isn't it? And it's a business week. We're straight into the midweek, so I'm excited. Blues lost, won, got a ticket. Was it worth it? Doesn't matter, because we're here to talk about the Premier League.
We are, and I suppose we should start off with... and I suppose you missed it, but that's what you get when you don't pay top dollar. He should have gone in with... Are you going to apologise to Arsenal, Mark? And I would have said no. And he would have said, yes, you should. And I would have said, OK, I'll concede. I said they were going to win against Manchester City. First things first, I did a video on That's Football about it. So I've had my say. Do you think the criticism of the game itself being boring was right? Or do you actually praise Arsenal for going there and getting the point, which I actually was proved right about?
Yeah, all right, steady on. No, I think... Good that Arsenal got the point, but yeah, I mean, I was so excited for that game. Sat down, got my bet on, I was really excited for it. And it just was absolute stinkfest, wasn't it? It was that team trying to get the point, which they did, but it just ties back into what we'll come on to later about modern football, systematic, formulaic, tiring, just a bit of... You bring Jack Grealish on, you think you're going to get this individual brilliance, and even he's like... I mean, you see Pep going at him at the end of the game, don't you? And it's just because he's not playing in the system. But for the title race, we don't want City to win. I'm on board with that. So it's a good day for that.
You know what I think? I just think people need to take it for what it is. Sometimes you go for a weekend away with the missus, you have a few drinks and you think, oh, this might be exciting tonight, a break from the norm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, actually it just ends up being the same as it is at home.
You might fall asleep straight away.
You might fall asleep. You might do. So look, I said, do I need to apologise to Arsenal? I think in a sense I do. I predicted Man City would win 2-0. I still think that was potentially going to happen. I was right about the international break. I was right about Arsenal not being able to replicate what they were doing before the international break. But what they did do is defend ridiculously well and limited Man City to absolutely nothing. So in a sense, I do need to apologise to Arsenal because I didn't think they would get the result. To get a clean sheet, and I think it's the first time Man City haven't scored at the Etihad in 2 years, they achieved something I didn't think was possible. But I was right in the sense that I didn't fancy Arsenal to go there and win. But the point is brilliant and I think they deserve the praise for it, which I suppose poses one question. Do you think that, I've heard a lot of people saying this, do you think that Gabriel and Saliba are the best centre-back pairing in the Premier League at the moment? Because I don't, but you do.
I think they're definitely the best pairing in the Premier League because the ones that we'll probably come on to, there's a clear standout individual. And I think in that partnership, Saliba is the better one. And even in that game, he was the standout one. But I still think Gabriel's at a level where he's pushing him. Whereas you look at, like, every time we go to a Liverpool back four, it's Van Dijk and he can bring you up. I mean, I could play next to Van Dijk and he'd probably bring me up to a certain level.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd go with Gabriel and Saliba as the best duo combined.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to get into some argument with hipsters. I think that the Gabriel Saliba thing across the season, consistency and games played makes them deservedly the best pairing. I would actually say Konate and Van Dijk, if they played more, are a better pairing. But you're right, they don't play as much. And I think the thing that Saliba is absolutely fantastic, but Gabriel has sort of, like you say, he's pushed up on consistency. He's a bit of a shithouse as well. He gets in the ears.
It's great at
he
the
scores
end,
goals. Yeah, I think they've done fantastically well. But that feeds into point one of why Goldbridge should be listened to. Erling Haaland, I said a few weeks ago, millions of views clipped. I said Erling Haaland doesn't start for Liverpool. Oh, well, Jan-Åge Fjørtoft, button it, just because he's Norwegian. It's the Norwegian Striker Society. Shut up. You know what? I was right because you didn't listen. I'm not one of those people who start saying stuff for clips. I do that, but I didn't say it about that. I meant it from a complete layered. And even yesterday when I said it, people were going, he definitely starts for Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp would drive to Manchester and pick him up. No, you're exposing yourself as a footballing peasant if you think that. Liverpool play football with a striker that has to work hard, be part of the link-up, you know, part of the hold-up, create, not just score goals. Erling Haaland is, in my opinion, the best penalty box striker in the world. But time and time again, he's about as useless as a chocolate fire guard when the fire's on.
Yep.
in the big games.
Yeah.
When the heat's on, he melts.
If I'm a footballing peasant, please, sir, can I have some more? Because I think Erling Haaland will still walk into that Liverpool side.
No, but you're not listening.
No, you're not listening. Look, let me speak, Simon.
Will, shut up. No. You're talking nonsense. You're just doing it to try and... Trust me, 90% of the world's with me on this one.
I don't care about 90% of the world, because I think Erling Haaland literally ties into what we were speaking about at the start of the show. He is part of this system, this Formula 8 thing, and there's so many things he can do, but in those parameters, he can't be set free. At Borussia Dortmund, you've got the prime showreel of what he can do when he's getting in behind, linking up play a lot better.
Linking up play.
Roy Keane said he's League 2.
He could link a daisy chain.
Oh, shut up. When he's, at the moment, Roy Keane said he's playing at League 2 level.
That was too far. That's obviously too far. I don't like your dad.
And if he's got a and he's got a YouTube career in him, though, yeah. That's a perfect thumbnail. But I think what we do, and we always say this when we're speaking about either ors and stuff, form. Form is temporary, class is permanent. And Erling Haaland has that. And I think there's enough to be showed at Borussia Dortmund. And you have to take in the facts that he is in a system and he can't get out. He needs help.
Dortmund. Yeah. All you ever do is talk about Dortmund. Jadon Sancho's playing well for Dortmund again.
Exactly.
Surprise, surprise. The league is rubbish.
Is he set free?
No, it's rubbish. A rubbish league. The Premier League is the best league in the world. And what people make a mistake of here, let me just spell it out for the simpletons, right? I'm not saying Erling Haaland isn't world class. He is. But he wouldn't work in a Liverpool system. And if you don't realise that, you're not watching football. Liverpool striker has to work within a structure and work hard. Erling Haaland doesn't work hard. He doesn't track back. He doesn't link up. He is a penalty box striker. And that is why numerous teams over the last 2 years have shut him down. And that's why Gabriel and Saliba did it. Because if he got a chance in the box from 5 yards out, it's curtains. It's not curtains. It's, you know what I mean? It's over.
Yeah.
But he won't start for Liverpool. He would start for Arsenal. There's no point starting for Man United. Of course, he probably starts for Spurs. Probably starts for Villa.
But in a
Liverpool system, well, maybe he would start for Real Madrid, actually. Yeah, because it's a crap league where you're going to get loads of chances. But in Liverpool's system, that is the victorious thing. And I am victorious. So shut up and let's talk about something else.
Well, just on that.
Let the chat decide.
Yeah.
You are the chat. Get involved in the chat. Let us know your thoughts on this and many other more interesting debate points. Because you know what? There's plenty of other podcasts out there. They're desperately trying to get guests on and they're fantastic. But you have the power with this. This is the podcast of yours. So tell your friends, tell your family, get in the comments because you're the ones growing this podcast and it's real conversation. We're here to save football. Erling Haaland doesn't start for Liverpool. That's a really good speech. You are the champions. I am right.
Well, one thing we can both agree on this season is Alexis McAllister. We've both been waxing lyrical about him. Again, the ball's in behind at the weekend. But are we at a stage now where we can put him in this sort of midfield three elite of we're looking at Rodri?
Casemiro.
Steady on, though. You've had your say. You're getting a bit silly. Declan Rice and McAllister.
Yeah.
That top three. Is McAllister forcing himself in there? And then you have to throw back the clock to 30 mil initial fee.
Well, I don't know where you were on this, but I certainly know that we have been talking about that Liverpool midfield from the very start. And this is why this podcast is great. Yeah, you've got me and Will, but the community is great, the greatest. And we collectively, if you are part of the Ultras, the mainstream have failed here. Like, you know, they're not in Pratt of the Week for this, but they will be if they're not careful, because I can't understand why Alexi McAllister in the mainstream is not getting the praise that we're going to heap on him now and have done all season. Jurgen Klopp rebuilt a midfield in one summer. Ridiculous, impossible, and he did it. And Alexi McAllister, from pretty much August, I said, been really impressed with him. He's the focal point, simple pass, tenacious, can create. What a signing he's been. And here we are in March, well, April now, and, you know, we're talking about it again. And yet still, I don't watch Match of the Day or Talk Sport or anything like that and get any coherent acknowledgement about it. But what I like, Will, is Rice at Arsenal, Rodri at Man City, McAllister at Liverpool. When you look at that weekend, no goals in the Liverpool and in the Arsenal game, from behind in the Brighton game for Liverpool, those three players are actually the star players of the weekend for me. And what a refreshing change that, you know, it's not about the Haalands or the Salahs. This season, especially, I think Rice is probably player of the season for Arsenal. Mm. Rodri's probably player of the season for Man City. And McAllister probably is my player of the season for Liverpool. So look, you know, how do you split all three? They're massively fundamental to their teams.
And the thing with him as well, it was just when Brighton were sitting deep, those balls in behind were like, they were like a sandwich, but you know, like a 54 degree no, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to get out of the bunker, you chip them one in, it's got to be perfect. And it, and he's doing that.
Well, it was his assist to Salah, wasn't it,
yeah,
as well? Yeah,
they were so nice and delicate. So even from, you know, we speak about the depreciation in modern football with it being all systems and everything, the way he can pick a pass is, you know, second to none, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where would you rank them still?
I still think that...
Let's not do overall because I think that's clear. But if you had to do this season in terms of form, where would you put the three of them?
I think it... Look, if I was ranking them in general, I think Rodri has to still be number one, probably Rice two, McAllister three. But based on the season expectations and what they've achieved, I'd put Rodri three because you'd expect him to do what he's done.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect McAllister to do what he's done necessarily in his first season stepping up. And Declan Rice, £100 million, not many people... So it's between Rice and McAllister for me. But I don't want to get involved in ranking those three because I genuinely appreciate all three of them. I think they've been fantastic for what they've done. Interesting point what you're saying though, and Niall was talking about this off screen.
Yeah.
Son for Spurs, what's he got to do with the title? Absolutely nothing. He plays for Spurs. But Niall was saying, you know, Son, surely he might start for a lot of these top teams. And he was saying that Arsenal, Man City, very structured, you know, not really any flair there. Son starts for any team in the Premier League for me. Any team in the Premier League. Man City, 100%. Liverpool, 100%.
Yeah, and
Arsenal 100%.
And I think it's been great because it's been sort of this season without Kane, he's just become another level. Obviously, had the injury as well and going away to the Asia Cup, but just I just love him. Like to be a captain and a leader as well, I just think, what is he, 30, 31 now? I think
he won't be having a big move anywhere else.
But it just feels that last, not the last of the old guard, but it just feels like he's kept the essence of like why we like football. And probably the big refreshing thing for him is Big Ange coming in the summer because it's almost like, right, that ties perfectly into my attributes and my traits and I can kick on from here.
Massively popular player. I think he's one of those players that universally is liked probably by everybody other than Arsenal fans because of the rivalry. And I think that when it comes to flair, yeah, great, great player. But the fact that we won't ever see him play for a Liverpool or a Man City or a Real Madrid is in a way sad, but obviously it's a massive positive for Spurs. But
Never say never on that as well. I just feel like the way football's going, like you know, when it's 30, 35, 40 might be the new 35 just because of like modern science and everything and the way that players can rest and recover. And I know but there's a lot of injuries that are coming about. I mean, the Newcastle got absolutely decimated at the weekend, didn't they? But I just feel like 40 will be the new 35, which might be quite good for you.
Yeah, well, I'm playing again this summer, so 45 could become the new 21.
Don't push it.
But what are your thoughts on that? I think Son does start for any team in the Premier League. I think that the flair thing is a dying breed. You go back 20 years ago and look at goal of the month and all that sort of stuff. The goals are very different to what we get now. I think they are quite formulaic and quite structured.
It's a cut back at the byline, isn't it?
Mm.
And then the tapping.
And I love, you're absolutely right. And I love system breakers. I mean, this is what's exciting about Kobbie Mainoo, the ability in the midfield to skip past a player. It's a system breaker. And I think Son's that sort of player. But look, who plays left wing for Man City? Doku is erratic. Grealish is underutilized. Son walks in there. Who plays left wing for Arsenal? Martinelli. Well, Son's better than him. Who plays left wing for Liverpool? Diaz is fantastic. Son is better. So he does. He walks into any Premier League side. And I think, you know, we are top-centric. We've been talking about the title and we talk about the race for top four. Son has always been underrated, but I think, you know what? We're here to save football, and by saving football, we're here to identify those players that actually play the game the way we want it to be played.
And yeah, you know, when we talk about the bottom as well, Son would play for Luton. I've said it. I'm happy to say that.
Yeah, yeah. They're going down, by the way. Oh, hold on. Before we talk about Luton, who's winning the league?
Yeah, well,
big weekend. Liverpool 3 points clear of City, 2 points clear of Arsenal. I think that Arsenal won't win the league because their running is horrible.
Yes.
I think they needed to beat Man City to do that, but you can't expect them to go and win at the Etihad. It's difficult. I think it's still Man City for me. I won't write them off, but Liverpool can basically lose a game with that goal difference and still be marginal favourites. I could see Man City winning every single game though, whereas Liverpool have got massive game at Old Trafford, which we'll be previewing on Friday, and also they've got to go to Villa. I just feel that Liverpool might not have enough to stop City. But we're still assuming City are the team of last year, which they're quite clearly not.
Yeah, they're definitely not. I think that experience that they're void of will come to haunt them in the running. I think I've picked Liverpool. I stuck with them even when you were trying to push me. You're chopping and changing left, right and centre.
That's the way it's going to go.
No, I've stuck with Liverpool. Opta also backing them, 48%.
I think they have to be favourites, yeah.
Yeah, and you just think that they've sort of travelled through the waters when they've had, you know, Trent's been out, the centre-back pairings changed every other week, Robertson's been out, that they've dealt with and not necessarily bought in senior pros. It's been the youngsters that have stepped up. And just tying into this whole narrative of Jurgen Klopp, it just sort of feels... I feel like I'm saying Liverpool, but like I still feel like my gut saying Man City.
That's why I'm saying City, because you just can't write them off. It's funny actually, with some City fans at the weekend going, "Oh, it's typical when we get into the running, we start getting injuries." And I went, "Paul, I go, shut up."
Yeah.
I mean, Liverpool's injury records are unbelievable. Oh, Walker's injured and Aki's injured. Oh, just bring you've got Vart. You know, they've got they're not getting key injuries in the areas where it matters. And
well, they said they had like 100-something million pound of injuries, but then they still had a £200 million backline as well,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, I still think they're dangerous. For Arsenal, look, I still want Arsenal to win it as a United fan, but their running is hard. They've got to go Brighton at the weekend, they've got to play Spurs, and they've got to play Villa, they've got to go to Old Trafford, which might be easy, might be hard, you never know. The running of Arsenal is difficult and they're playing catch-up, and I don't see Liverpool and Man City... They've been there before. That
you've got the easiest running.
I can't
as well,
see them dropping many points.
But then we have got the factors of Champions League, Europa League for Liverpool, FA Cup still for Manchester City.
Yeah,
I just think we get to the point now, we go, right, Liverpool favourites. This 2 months, I mean, we'll do a podcast on Thursday. We'll have had the midweek games. It will change. Monday, it will change.
I'd love Villa. If Villa can get something at City on Wednesday night, that would be absolutely incredible. Because when you look at the week this week, I think Arsenal, Luton.
Yeah. Liverpool, Man City, Sheffield United. Liverpool,
yeah, so you Liverpool and Arsenal should win. If Man City were to drop points at home to Villa, which is probably unlikely, but you never know with Villa,
yeah,
that would be probably Man City. I think if Man City drop points again, they're gone.
No, I still worry. Nah, still worry they're lurking.
Yeah, well, they are lurking, but I think they probably would be gone.
Do you want to move on to Champions League chat? Because we did mention Villa there.
Yeah.
Tottenham win, but Villa have got to play all three teams in the Champions League. Man United...
gone.
Champions League gone?
Yeah, I think it has to be gone. I think the Fulham game will ultimately be the one where we lost that momentum. But you've got to beat Brentford away. And
bonking performance. It was.
You know what?
Great clip of you, though. So you got to... Rough and smooth, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm never going to not celebrate those moments. We were talking about it before. It's like, we did it... Funny enough, we did it against Brentford at home.
Yeah.
They deserve to beat us at home. 1-0 into stoppage time, and we won 2-1. A lot of United fans didn't want to celebrate it. Me and many others did, because it's football. It's the club you love. You know. I think it's a boring thing to go, well, we didn't deserve it.
Well,
so
the celebration,
I'm not going to celebrate.
Police come out there.
Yeah,
they?
It's a joke. But I've got to be honest, Brentford, really, if we'd won that game, you almost started just giving Paige, because it would have been completely and utterly a robbery. But yeah, I think Man United don't deserve Champions League football. And I think we're finished this season in relation to the aspirations that we would want.
Is that the nail in the coffin for Ten Hag?
For me, I don't think it should be. I think when you watch that game against Brentford, there's too many things that are not tactical. I mean, there are things tactical, but Brentford looked like hungrier, more disciplined, more concentrated. The amount of five-yard passes not going, the amount of jogging back, the lack of concentration. You don't get taught that on the training ground. This is something that you learn in your back garden when you're five, you know, passing 5 yards. So I'm like... You can blame the manager, but I would hope that Ineos, who are in charge now, would look at that and go, there's something fundamentally wrong with these players. When you look at Brentford, their combined 11 wages is probably £250,000 a week.
Yeah.
And United's starting 11 is probably £2 million a week. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not getting value for money there.
Well, even Jim Radcliffe said that in one of his first interviews, didn't it? You can have all like the stats in the world, but the stat that proves the most deadly is like if you spend more money, you're most likely to win. So... And if they're not delivering, there's going to have to be some chops and changes. But
you'd expect us to beat Coventry, but that won't be any...
Steady, that's not, look, that, Coventry well, are using that. Mark Robbins will have that up on the screen.
Well,
get in!
You'd watch that Brentford game and you go, we'd fancy our chances against Brentford, so why not against Man United? But if United get through that, they've got a low chance against Man City, who I think will beat Chelsea. But you'd hope that maybe something can happen. You win an FA Cup and it's something to salvage from a shit season.
Yeah, but the big benefit, if you're trying to take a positive, is the Europa League soundtrack is better than the Champions League one in my eyes. Whoa,
I don't know it. I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was Emmerdale.
Whoa,
no,
that's better.
Don't know it.
You do know it. You've had enough experience of it.
I don't have it on mute.
Champions League, though, Aston Villa got Manchester City. They've got an incredibly tough run in. They've got to play all the title race teams. Tottenham, obviously, a bit Jekyll and Hyde at sometimes. Good win in the end against Luton. Man United out of it. But it just feels crazy for me from where we were to where we are now that Aston Villa are still front runners for the Champions League.
Well, they both should get it for fifth place, but I suppose the real thing is, can you finish fourth? And I'd fancy Spurs because Villa have still got Europe. But it's a big week, isn't it? Spurs got West Ham, Villa have got Man City. They've all got to play those teams at the top. But ultimately, I think the Champions League race might be a little bit dull because they'll both get it. And then we were going to talk about the relegation battle quickly.
Yeah.
I think I've been up and down about Luton, and I know you've been up about them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're gone. Because I looked at the fixtures and they need to start winning games, and it's not easy to win games in this league. Like they've got Arsenal, Brentford at home. I just think they need to go and get 10 points quickly. And I just look at their running and I go, I can't see it. And the thing about Luton is I think they've been a breath of fresh air, but if we're being completely blunt, Everton and Forest, it's only because they've had points deductions that it's close. Like, they're not doing enough to stay up. They're the best of the bad bunch, and they have been a breath of fresh air, but I just don't think they've done enough.
I think that the big thing for them, I'm probably going to have egg on my face, is I can't really remember a time where they've had an absolute tonking this season. And if it is, it's only once or twice. And I think for a team like that,
it's great.
It's fantastic. But, you know, even at the weekend, like, I'll get onto it for Pratt of the Week, but like, Burnley are dead and buried, and then they go and get a
Chelsea.
Point. That season's absolutely done. But I'm with you, Luton. I've been with you since the start. I'll be like the violinist on the Titanic. I'll be there playing to the end. Women and children first. I'll be there backing you. I love you, Luton.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, as I said at the weekend, if I'm on the lifeboat, because I will be,
yeah,
sod this women and children first. It's 2024, Equality Street. But when I come back and old Kate Winslet's blowing a whistle, I see Will, you're coming on.
Would you let me on your door?
I'd let you on the boat before I let her on.
Yeah.
Most disappointing end to a film ever. That selfish cow should not be let on a lifeboat.
Well, they did the science.
No, I'm not talking about Kate Winslet. I'm talking about Rose.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. I let Kate Winslet on the boat and leave you in.
Yeah.
She's a bloody good actress. And
didn't they say that scientifically it was proven that you could actually get another person on that raft? On that door, whatever it was.
It matters not, Will. She is from the aristocracy.
Winslet or Rose.
Yeah. 18 years of age or not, she's had 18 years of a silver spoon in her mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
He's had 18 years of poverty.
And he's underrated, he is, because, you know, he's come on that boat, he's not expecting anything, and he's got his way up to the upper decks, and he's bloody tried hard, and it's come true for him.
Why does she live?
Yeah.
You know what? No one can see. Tip the thing up. Get on. Oh, let me on. I thought we were in love. Yeah. We were. It was a great time. Yeah. Get off my hat. Get off before I punch you.
Yeah.
No, that would be too far.
That would be too far.
But you could just push the hand away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a film at the end of the day. It's fictitious. So I can be vicious with fictitious.
Nice. Yeah, lovely stuff. Get your either ors in for films that we should do in the future.
Yeah.
About ending scenes. I'd love to get into the ending of Lost with you, but that's a different podcast for a different day. Favourites for for Champions League then? You going sticking with Tottenham?
Spurs, yeah, for fourth, yeah. I still think Villa will get it, though. And favourites to go down, the usual suspects, Luton, Sheffield United and Burnley.
One we were speaking about from the Brentford game, I forgot to mention, Tony.
Yeah.
He felt like it was a bit of an audition gone wrong for him.
Too hard, Tony.
Yeah, nice. Very good from you.
Try hard.
Or Tony, too hard.
Look, he's a good player. He had a lot to do with the equaliser.
You're getting a bit emotional about that Titanic, aren't you?
Getting a bit emotional in it. But I think it was the quintessential performance. And I said it before, it could bite us in the arse because I don't think United should be looking to buy Tony when we've got Haaland. But I think
Hoyland. You ain't got Haaland. He wouldn't work for Man United. He doesn't run hard enough.
He wouldn't work for United. He wouldn't get any bloody service. But I can't even remember the striker's name for Man United, which is the same for... That's the problem Rashford, Bruno and Garnacho have got. I didn't even know we had a striker. I'll just shoot from 30 yards, you useless pricks. I think with Tony, brilliant striker. I thought he had a good game against United, but I think he fell into the category, and we've seen it before, he's almost got his name in lights. He knows if he scores a good goal in this game, he's you know, it's going to, and it just didn't work for him because he had his chance. He had a few chances, and it just didn't pop for him. I mean, other people did as well. But
I just thought the way he controlled the ball in the at the end was like that moment where you're under pressure and you feel like you should have got something out of the game, and he just turned something into nothing from bringing it down, the jink back, and then picking out that man in the box was fantastic.
I said it last week. I think he's a good striker. I don't think he's what United need. I don't think it's what Arsenal want. I think he's perfect for Chelsea. Every time I watch Chelsea, I think Tony. He might not be a long-term guy, but for the
two
next
seasons,
you know, you've got financial problems. Yeah. He would be perfect. He's London-based. He's got everything that you need. You just need someone to go in and score 20 goals.
And just lead the line well.
Yeah, yeah. And he's arrogant. You know, he's got it all.
One thing I got a bit, you know, I'm not a man of the stats. I'm not a man of the formation. I'm a man of the narrative. And Mason Mount's had an absolute stinking season, hasn't he, through injuries. Yeah. And he came back, and then to get that goal in the 95th minute. And
it's
then
a shame.
Bloody Man United couldn't even hold on for it.
It was a brilliant goal as well. I mean, it sort of came out of nothing, but he took it with his left foot and you thought, oh, this could be the spark. And then, no, we'll mess that up.
Yeah.
But hopefully you'll get some game time.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors. People have been messing things up. It's time for Prat of the Week. You're a Prat, he's a Prat, she's a Prat, they're whiny. Now it's time for Prat of the Week. 1, 2, 3. Yes, lots of nominations in this week. I've got a few written down here. I mean, do you want to start with the one that's the constant?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've spoken about this quite a lot, and it's the refereeing. It has to be. You know what? I'm not. We were talking about before saying, "Oh, we're a bit bored of doing this," but actually, I'm not bored of doing it because we're here as a community. This is your podcast. We've said from the start this is about talking about the big topics and not sugarcoating it. And constantly this season, we've spoken about saving football from the integrity issues from the PGMOL. And for me, it seems to get worse. It's like almost like on the international break, they had 2 weeks in Benidorm and just came back with a hangover because it was awful. And the problem again, Will, is consistency and everybody at home. You know, you watch that. I'm a Prat.
Yeah, you are.
I am a Prat. So we were going to do a watch along on Saturday and on That's Football. And I was like, I'm not going to do Newcastle against West Ham. I'm going to do the 3 o'clocks. And miss a 7-goal thriller. I was watching the second half, and that what my big problem is, if we talk about the big two, the Chelsea penalty and the Newcastle penalty.
Yeah,
I don't care if a referee on the pitch gets it wrong. You see it in the Championship all the time. Oh, it can happen.
You bloody do.
But it's inexcusably disgusting that VAR reviews both of those. And stands, well, actually, the Newcastle game, he didn't give the penalty. VAR said, come and have a look at it. The Chelsea one, he gave it, and they stuck by him. I mean, it's just incredible to me. We start with the Gordon one. He doesn't even get the ball. He puts his foot around Calvin Phillips. It's just not a... It's a foul on Phillips, if anything.
Yeah, but I think the better comparison in that game is when, I think it was Kudos was through on goal and Dan Burn shoulder barges him. Right, so right or wrong, the ref doesn't give anything, doesn't give a foul. But then the Chelsea one, the Burnley player, there's literally like a hand on him
and
with
he goes
no force.
Forward
yeah,
instead
yeah.
of backwards.
And he gets a yellow, and like you said off air, he ends up getting sent off for that. And
yeah.
Burnley managed to galvanise from it. But it's just that those things are so similar. It's just how can professional referees have such a different opinion when they're in this training bubble. They're all looking at the same things at the start of the season. You got Howard Webb like leading the way. Well, apparently so. He's probably just more worried about getting his airtime than Michael Owen. It's just very frustrating when those simple things are not being done. And then the whole backdrop of it is you've got a backup system to be like, excuse me, mate. I stand by it. Whoever that assistant was in the Liverpool Spurs game needs an MBE and needs to be knighted and head of the refereeing association by the end of the season.
Well, there was one in the Brighton game as well. Nunez is on the back post and gets pulled back. It's soft, but he does get pulled back. No penalty. 24 hours after the worst penalty against Chelsea Burnley. And it's like, you know, if you watch EastEnders or Coronation Street and you watch it on a Monday and then you watch it on a Wednesday and someone else is playing Phil Mitchell or Ken Barlow, you're like,
I'm Phil Mitchell.
What's going on? You know, it's not even a man.
Yeah.
You know, he's not even from England. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not even a person. It's a polar bear. What's going on? And I think that's the problem. The consistency is so aggravatingly annoying that we're watching it as fans going, hold on, yesterday that was a penalty. And then that is a penalty and it's not a penalty. And like, you know, the Gordon one as well, he doesn't win the ball. He just sticks his foot in the way.
Yeah.
And then it gets turned around. So it's like, well, at the end of the day, like, VAR has to step in there. And why is it not stepping in and saying, Well, the Newcastle one is the referee didn't give the penalty on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
So why are VAR looking at it and going, oh, we think that's a penalty? I mean, you don't understand the science of football. You've never played the game, you think that's a penalty. So look, yeah, I know we do it every week, but we are already at a point where if Man City win this league title, then the integrity is gone. Not because of 1-1-5, because Liverpool have been robbed of about 6 points. You could argue Arsenal have been robbed of two, but it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And I think this league, they've got to do something over the summer.
Yeah, they won't. They never do.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? The mainstream just don't talk about it now. Match of the day on Saturday night, they didn't even talk about the Gordon penalty.
Yeah.
So, and we're aware of this.
There's a lot to get in a match of the day, though.
No, but I'm aware of this. I don't know where you're aware of it. I'm aware of the conversations that go on between the media and the PGMOL every couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, you've been a part of them.
Well, I refused to go on it. I did get invited. I did find out how to get on it, and then I refused to do it because I'm like, actually, they're just not going to listen. They're not going to do anything about it. But they have these conversations every 2 weeks, and it's like, it's almost like the media are their protector now, because there's so much, there is nobody really other than ourselves and other, maybe other content creators, but the mainstream are not shouting them out. That is not.
Well, they can go
right.
Like this,
that's
guy's
censorship.
Yeah, they can go like, oh, this guy's saying this over here. Like, can you not have a word with him? But like, even the fact that they're highlighting it, it's like, that's just taking the game away from the people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We're not being listened to. We're being suppressed by a dictatorship.
One of the teams that we mentioned a lot, I've already put them in Pratt of the Week, Chelsea. I just thought this is one of the worst Premier League sides that we're going to see in the history of the Premier League. Football started in 92, according to some people.
Rodriguez hit the bar.
Yeah, he could have won it. Yeah. So not only did Chelsea not beat Burnley had 10 men and they still managed to get a point. I just thought, if ever a game summed up Chelsea, Pochettino this season, it was that one.
Yeah, well, I think when Chelsea go 1-0 up and they've got 10 men, Burnley, you think, well, that's it. I actually was then, I turned my attention on the watch along to the Spurs-Luton game because Luton were winning 1-0. And then people were like, you need to keep an eye on the Burnley-Chelsea game. I was like, nah, and there's no point. And then they score two goals from behind twice. And it's just like, that's Chelsea in a game, really, isn't it? They're just a weird, weird team. And yeah, I wouldn't sack Pochettino. I've said it before. I think similarly with Manchester United, it's a player problem. You bring a manager in there, people say Mourinho, yeah, you defend better, but that's a short-term plaster, that is.
One thing I would like to, it's a new feature I'm starting, reasons to be cheerful for the Euros as an England fan. The fact that, you know, we always associate flair with being abroad, European, Brazilian. Cole Palmer dropping a Panenka penalty at 1-0. Young guy, I mean, the absolute balls on him.
Does he win Young Player of the Year for you?
That is a great question. Well, it's where's the cut-off point as well? Because well, do you go up to 24? Saka would still be in there.
I don't know why it goes up to 24, though. I thought as long as you were 21 in the calendar year or something. So I thought,
no,
I always
think
thought
that's under 21s.
Oh, right, okay.
The young player. Because remember, didn't Dele Alli win it when he was like 23 or something?
I think 23 is the cut-off. It must be something like that. But I think he probably, well, let us know. I think Cole Palmer, Declan Rice would be way over that. Alexis McAllister's way over that. So yeah, I think Cole Palmer, being a new signing at a new club and basically being the talisman for Chelsea, I can't think of
anybody.
And
just the backdrop of going like, I'm at City, they just want a treble. Yeah. Nah, I'm going to go and forge my own path as well.
Having to deal with that Tim Sherwood question as well. He's gone through a lot. No, I think he surely has to be. You know, when you're performing and getting praise in a bad team as well, I think he has to be a strong contender, yeah.
Yeah. Should we just go through the remaining games? We'll do a bit of either or for the fixtures that are coming up this week.
Who's Pratt of the Week then?
That'd be a good one to finish off. Yeah. I mean, it's your podcast, you can choose. I did have Jesse Lingard on there. There's only a report I've seen, but apparently he's already odds with the manager out there and they're thinking about putting him out of the team after that sort of strange move going to, I think it's Seoul FC.
He sold his soul.
Yeah, and he's in Korea and his career might be over.
Yeah. This is brilliant. This is top class off the cuff banter.
Yeah, clip that, please. Yeah. That's fantastic. No, I think it's just a strange one.
I mean, look, Jesse Lingard needed to leave Manchester United, but I didn't think he was such a...
Have signed for West Ham when he went to Forest.
I didn't think he was such a lost soul that he'd end up in Seoul. But no, I thought he was better than that. The West Ham loan deal was where his career went, really, because for some reason he ended up signing for Forest for money and it just never really played. So, yeah, I mean, Lingard, look, we're not talking about Gazza here. We're talking about Jesse Lingard. And I think that, his career has gone off a cliff. Again, you question the people who are around him, advising him. He's obviously spoken in the past about mental health issues, etc. We've seen that with Dele Alli as well. So, I think, look, he's probably earned enough bread out of football. Um, he's you know, he's very social media aware, so maybe he'll end up on Match of the Day or something like that anyway. But
you know where he needs to go? Back to one of his former clubs to rekindle his form, actually. I was thinking about that.
Not United.
Birmingham City. Scored four on his debut against Sheffield
Wednesday.
Yeah, I
remember that.
Get him back.
But look, at the end of the day, when these players end up going to places like that, it's almost a last throw of the dice, isn't it? And
well,
it's
I,
such
I
a different...
It, yeah, like,
it's a culture thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Like, if you know you're coming to the end of your career, I'd just be like, well... I always think as well, you do the Steve Sidwell effect, I call it. You know, you're coming to the end of your career, just try and play for as many clubs as you can. Because when it comes to Europa League nights and they're looking for a Brighton pundit, get yourself in there, boy. You've got yourself a job.
Lovely
you crack
stuff.
On.
Talking about Brighton, maybe another potential Pratt of the Week, De Zerbi,
yes.
After the game with Liverpool, talking about his future and basically saying, oh, I don't know, I've got to see if they match my ambitions, etc.
Yeah, ambition and just very transparent conversation, which is something probably as neutral fans that we like. But if you're a Brighton fan, you're probably just thinking, keep this in-house. Like, there's obviously been the reports with Liverpool. You didn't like those reports. You don't think he's good enough for them, do you?
I'd be happy with him. I mean, what the question I'm asking is, the Alonso things fell through.
Yeah.
Why now are Liverpool not going all in on Southgate? I mean, it's an obvious connection. You know, he's had a couple of weeks with United.
Yeah, but you know why that is, why it's not...
Because Liverpool have switched on.
No, because Man United have already signed, sealed and delivered it.
Liverpool have switched on. They would rather...
Didn't Jason Wilcox play with Southgate as well?
Oh, the connections, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think Michael Edwards drove past him on the M6 once as well. But no, I think that... The reason Southgate is not being linked with Liverpool is because they're bloody switched on and they'd rather employ you. They'd rather have us as a couple of managers. Yeah. And I'd sabotage it as a United fan on purpose.
When are you next getting in the dugout?
I don't know yet. I don't know. Waiting on a few calls. Maybe a pro clubs team. Maybe I'll start that. But I'm playing a bit in the summer. We'll give you more details of that. But I think with De Zerbi, my bottom line is with De Zerbi is that it's amazing how the media and fans as well... create a rhetoric around certain people. We see it with players a lot where they're rated, but they're overrated. Like they're just popular. Well, if you look at De Zerbi harshly, year one did really well. Year two, season's over in March. Like their season was over in mid-March when they got knocked out by Roma. They're not in the race for the Europa League or the Conference League. And
well, no, but they're in ninth. They're only if it goes down to seventh, they're only 2 points off West Ham.
Yeah, but they're not going to do
it. But that's what I mean, because I think...
Why is he being touted as a Liverpool coach when he's had a disastrous season?
I don't think he's had a disastrous season.
Oh, injury in Brighton. Brighton have been a bloody decent team for years.
But also, they're ninth in the Premier League.
Crap.
That's not... Come on.
Battered by Roma, battered by Fulham, battered by Luton.
Yeah, but that's Brighton, and then they can go and stuff someone 4-0.
Been battered more than a fish.
No, I generally think the expectations have come because of how well they did last season.
But I don't know why he's being touted to replace Jurgen Klopp.
Because he's the best of the rest, isn't it? So, what? So who would you put?
It's like looking at the bottom of a rabbit hutch.
Well, who would you go? Eddie Howe?
There isn't.
Emery. He's not moving. And also, these clubs are getting stronger and more powerful, aren't they? Villa have got billionaire owners. Newcastle have got billionaire owners.
I think Liverpool's best place to go is Nagelsmann or Elmerim.
And also,
they're not open goals. Like, I don't think the manager market's. I mean, Jurgen Klopp. I mean, you look at Jurgen. The Liverpool fans, look, you've got a really good team, and there is a lot to be, you know, confident about. But what happens with Van Dijk? What happens with Salah? What happens with Trent? Jurgen Klopp is going to be such a massive loss.
I agree with that. I just think that it also proves that like people are seeing if there's five Champions League places, that means also because there's a clear top three, and that almost means now with Man United not doing well, Chelsea stinking out the joint, there's two places up for grabs. And if you're West Ham fans, probably think they can get up there. Brighton fans think they can get up there. Newcastle, Spurs, like you could put yourself in a new top six or a new top five.
It's a cliche, and people always use lions in this. You know, you got the leader of the pack, lion, but they always get taken on by the younger pups at some point.
Nice.
Well, I'm not going to use lions. I'm going to use turtles because it's very, very similar. Turtles hang around in packs, and when the oldest turtle, who's really tough, right, when they sense an opportunity, the younger turtles, terrapins, I think they are, they will come and basically headbutt the turtle's shell until it's dead.
Right.
So that's what might happen with Liverpool. I think Liverpool, well, let's go back to lions. So the lion is the leader of the pack and the younger lions are going, Jurgen Klopp is untouchable. And then one of them goes, oh, look, I think his back end's going. He definitely is. Look at there's a bit of poo coming out. He's vulnerable.
Right.
So they just go, let's go for it. And then the next thing you know, poor old big lion is
dead
at the bottom of a cliff.
So that's a bit like Southgate with Ten Hag then.
No, get lost. Southgate's like, I mean, bloody Ten Hag could be a lion on his last breath and still knock Southgate out.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Anyway, yeah, I think anyway, Pratt of the week for me, probably it's got to be the refs.
I'd go Chelsea. I think that's
maybe.
Stinking.
Get in the comments. What do you think?
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the week. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, the fixtures this week, just on, obviously Chelsea, Man United just finishing on them. Are you confident going into that one?
No.
No?
You just can't, you don't know what you're going to get.
I think that's where Man United have been performing at the best. I
would go with a Man United win, but you watch them against Brentford and they'd get beat by anyone, so.
And obviously you're doing the big watch along for Bournemouth, Crystal Palace this week.
Oh yeah,
exclusively watching that one.
Yeah, yeah, won't be watching anything else this week. It's all about that game. Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, who gives a shit? They're both safe, aren't they?
That's not safe from your
that's
terror.
That's sponsored by Jet 2 Holidays on the beach.
Yeah, get yourself there. Right, should we move on to Goldbridge?
Yes.
Because it's midweek, there's a full fixture list. We've got a review last week. We haven't got a graphic designer at the moment, so every time we go into a weekend, we're like, what have we done? Well, yeah. Mark, I can tell you. At the weekend, I had Cole Palmer with 2.
Yeah.
And Muniz got 1, so I had 3. I was buzzing.
Well done.
You had 4. You had Isak 2 penalties, Heung-min Son and Luis Diaz.
I'm so good.
You are good.
I'm even
you?
Trying not to win. So what's the what's the scores on the doors?
54-42.
Oh, it's over.
So we've got a punishment, which we've still not confirmed, but we kind of confirmed, but it's looking like it's me. So I've actually got a new idea for you to propose after the thing, because otherwise it's not looking too good for me. I've got the fixtures there if you want to have a look as well. That's all of them.
Okay.
If you want to do yours, you can start because you're champion and you have advantage.
I will go for... Well, I'm going to start off with... Newcastle against Everton, and I'm going to go with Gordon.
Gordon. He's suspended.
Is he?
He's got sent off.
I'm trying to let you win.
I should have let you.
I'm trying to let you win. Okay, I will move on to Bournemouth against Palace and just be boring and say I will go with Solanke.
I will go for Mateta.
Mateta. Mateta, who plays for Palace.
Crystal Palace.
Good point. Good point. I'll go West Ham Tottenham because I'm going to be watching this on That's Football, and I'm going to go with Bowen.
Nice. I'm going to go with West Ham Tottenham. I'm going to go with Heung-min Son. That's like my dirty banker for the week.
Okay. Third game, I'm going to go Brentford against Brighton. He was a try-hard Tony against Man United, but I don't think he'll go two games without a goal, so I'll go Tony in that one.
I will then go to... speak your words, Will. I'll go to Burnley versus Wolves. No, I won't. I'll go, sorry. I've just lost my head completely. I'll go Nottingham Forest Fulham, and I will go for how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if Chris Wood would score goals?
There you go. I'm going to go ridiculously niche on this one because I've got such a big lead, I can be arrogant. They're away to Man City. I'm going to go Ollie Watkins.
Wow, nice. That's something you'd like to see, so you can do a double cheer then, isn't it? Yeah. So you started. That
and
was your
niche.
Fourth pick. I will go really niche. I'll go for... You go niche. I'll go niche. Liverpool...
No, you need to go obvious, mate. This is why you lose.
Let me finish. I was doing a joke. I'm going to go for Mohamed Salah.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Fair play. I've got to go Chelsea, Man United. I can't go against my own club. We're away to Chelsea. I'm going to go for Rasmus. He will get a chance. He will score a goal.
Okay, I'll stick with that game and I'll go with... Is Garnacho fit?
Yeah.
Garnacho. Defender?
Defender, I'm going to just go for Arsenal against Luton. Dreams do come true. It'll be Gabriel.
I'm going to go for a Wolves double defender and goalie. I'm going to go Craig Dawson and Jose Sarr.
Okay, I'm going to go for a goalkeeper called Neto, who plays for Bournemouth.
You're saying that like you're trying to convince yourself.
I have.
Neto, that plays for Bournemouth. It's 12:55 as a recording. Can I just give you my guess who?
Yeah.
Okay, doesn't really matter. I think...
I'll do a guess who.
Yeah, you think of one then. Shall I do mine first?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not printed on this sheet.
What's
of paper.
The score on this?
It's 10-6 currently.
You've messed it up, haven't you?
No, I haven't messed it up. I just haven't printed out on that particular sheet of paper. So there's a sheet of paper in the printer, but it's 10-6. We haven't sorted a forfeit out for this one, but don't worry about that because here we go. My one is, I started my career at Blackburn Rovers the year after they won the Premier League, but I only made 4 appearances for them.
Oh my God. A year after they won the Premier League and I only made 4 appearances for them.
Yeah.
I think he won it with them and he would have played a lot more games. Henningberg.
Incorrect. I have 5 caps for England, but all of them came in 2003.
5 caps for England, 2003. Bloody hell. It's going to be a goalkeeper, I think. And I'm going to go with 5. Yeah, Ian Walker.
Incorrect.
He didn't play for Blackburn either.
Don't think he did, no. After Blackburn, my career path is Southampton, Everton, Sheffield United, Stoke, Rangers, Sheffield United, and Accrington Stanley.
Read them again. Blackburn.
Blackburn, Southampton, Everton, Sheffield United, Stoke, Rangers, Sheffield United, and Accrington Stanley. So I need to burp.
I don't know. I can't speak. Everton was one of them, was it?
Yeah.
Don't know. Dave Watson. It's not him.
Watto?
No. Oh. Used to play for Everton centre back.
My most successful patch of my career came at Southampton, where I played 204 times and scored 68 goals.
Oh, it's that Norwegian striker. No, he's not Norwegian because he wouldn't have played for England. Can't be Norwegian if he played for England. Stop knocking your eyes up.
Not why I want to knock him up.
Chris Sutton, no.
No, incorrect. I once headbutted Tony Pulis in the shower naked.
Oh, this is ridiculously niche.
No, that's not niche.
I can't remember anyone doing that.
James Beattie.
Yeah, I do remember him.
Yeah.
Never going to get that, to be fair.
That's your era, but probably a bit after, actually.
Honestly, that's this is the first time I've had James Beattie in my mouth for about 10 years.
Let's leave it there.
I didn't mean that one. Filth. I know what you lot are thinking about. Haven't said the word James Beattie in about a decade. There's a great one for the chat. I want to see some of these. Give me a footballer that you haven't said their name in at least a decade. You can't do it.
Ronnie Johnson,
that's a good one. I would say someone like Steve Nicol. No, I have said him because he's a crappy ESPN pundit.
Edwin van der Hal.
What about that left back that used to play for Everton and Spurs, Pat van den Hal? Remember him?
No, I don't remember him.
Yeah, he was really quite rough.
Alan Wright,
yeah, good one. a lot of Blackburn play. What was that wing? Stuart Ripley.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
This is a good game. Let us know some in the chat. Right, you're going to get this very quickly, I think. Started my career at Northampton Town, scoring 11 goals in 53 games.
Adebayo Akinfenwa?
No. I have played for England twice, scoring 1 goal.
What was the Northampton record?
53 and 11.
And I played for England twice?
With 1 goal.
Dave Nugent?
No. Clue 3. I was at Newcastle for 3 years.
Yeah.
Have 2 loans at Barnsley. Shrewsbury Town loan, Scunthorpe loan, Wigan loan, Scunthorpe loan, then signed for Peterborough United, where in 2018, scoring 76 goals. Sorry, 76
Ivan
appearances,
Tony.
40 goals, yeah.
Nice.
Well done. You got that a bit slower than I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I just like, because when you do them rushed, it's always from something you spoke about in the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm that
10-7.
10-7.
Wow! The drama!
This is like the fill-in when I was winning and I just stopped caring. And then, you know, Foster will not stop caring. He does a fucking quiz every 10 minutes.
Big shout out to that guy on TikTok. If you're not seeing it, he did a fantastic impression of the fill-in.
He did.
Well.
It was absolutely brilliant. But I would have thought Ivan Tony played more than 2 games for England.
No, because he only just started recently.
I know, but that's just my thought process. Absolute legends. Remember, this is your podcast, so spread the word and get in the community. We don't need guests. We've got a guest on next week. We have got a guest on the next podcast, but you're the guest.
Yeah.
In fact, you're more than that. You are the podcast. So remember, we say it how it is on here. Ultras. Give us a follow. Make sure you keep giving us those 5 stars, telling people about it. We're moving with this podcast. We're approaching at the end of the season and our first full season, and we're loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving you.
I wouldn't go that far. Talking about sacking managers and new contracts, of course, Will's contract is up at the end of the season. Oh, it's tough.
That's good.
He's got to do well in the next few weeks. I'll tell you what, if you can catch me up on that guess who,
yeah,
you might stay.
And if I do, it goes to a poll.
Yeah.
Do I have a contract for next season? Yes or no?
We'll just do a poll anyway.
Yeah.
I think that is ruthless aggression that I want in my football club, and you'll certainly get it in the podcast. Candidates to replace him at the moment. People's Pundit. Dean Gaffney.
Ellis Platten.
Ellis Platten. Now, these'd be a good replacement. I'm really rubbish ones. Who's desperately looking for a job? Little Mo from EastEnders.
Yeah.
Who else is looking for a side gig?
I can't remember.
Luke Littler.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. He's the main man at the moment.
He'd be way better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was giving it to Neil Mopo, wasn't he? He's got a bit of interaction.
He's got a bit of
banter. Maybe get him in.
He has got a bit of banter.
You know what? I'll resign.
That'd be a good idea to get Luke Littler on a podcast. I don't think anyone's done it recently.
No.
Anyway, thanks everyone for watching.
Steady
Take
now.
Care.